Warm Christian greetings to each of you this morning. It certainly is a blessing and a privilege to be here. And not many of your faces are familiar at this point. But I know a few, just a few. But it is a distinct privilege for us to be here and to share in this service in this way. The congregation here at Strawberry is one that we've heard about from time to time. Feels kind of like we know something about the congregation here vicariously through Winfred and Debbie. I think it's been about a half a dozen times that we've sat down now for an afternoon to just talk about how things are going with them. Actually, that may be maybe as much, and this is in the last 8 or 9 years, that may be as often as some of you have spoken with them, I don't know, or as much time as some of you have spent with them. But they certainly have been a tremendous blessing to the work of Christian Believers Fellowship / AMA in Nakuru, Kenya, these past decade plus. So it's true that I'm secretary treasurer of the board, so we've had some communication with Winfred from time to time about different things, but we count them as friends. And so they speak well of their home congregation, and it's good to be here. I realize, too, that the church here is sort of standing on the precipice of some fairly monumental things in the life and history of this congregation. The recent ordinations I'm not trying to put words in anybody's mouths, but I understand the ordinations were at least in part with an eye toward establishing another congregation. And then the fact that you all, in the face of these ordinations, work things together in such a way that you were willing to simultaneously release Tony and Ashley for the work in Kenya, rather than being part of this, the consideration here with the ordinations and everything. That speaks to a congregation and a body that is concerned about kingdom work. It's concerned about things, about expanding your borders. And when I'm talking about borders, I'm not talking about that in an economic sense. I'm not talking about that in a selfish influence sense, but talking about this in the sense of God's kingdom. You want to grow that influence and that that perspective into other areas. And so we bless you for the generous spirit that has prompted, I believe, these steps that you're taking in multiple and different ways, different steps. The outreach and Winfred's have been in Kenya for quite a while, and I don't know where all your people have been serving. But now Tony and Ashley going to Kenya as well. So we're from Southeast Kansas. Like Brother mentioned, Oswego is our hometown, which is, as of the last half year or so, the address of some people who you know, maybe a little better, at least some of you, of Glenn and Lindy. So they are our neighbors and in our congregation now. It's difficult for me at a time like this, at a service like this, to not get a little bit introspective, because there was a time when both my wife and I, as singles, we we made the decision to serve abroad and begin a dating relationship during the time that we were both serving in El Salvador. And we came back, and then after we were married several years, we went back as a young family, maybe a little younger yet than y'all. We had two children at the time, and we brought three home with us. Took two and brought three 4 years later. My assignment was a little different than yours because I went as a school teacher and administrator rather than in a pastoral role. Now, the way that the churches worked in El Salvador, there was plenty of opportunity for the non-ordained brethren to preach as well. And I had been ordained a few years before I thought I could say, I think I've now preached more in English than Spanish. But that's be that as it may. But I can identify. This is an interesting situation for y'all. And interesting might not be the best way to describe it, but I'm sure that it tugs you in different directions, Tony and Ashley. And I just would like to encourage you to keep following the God who has led you to this point for each step in the future. But it is, like I indicated, difficult for me not to view some of these things through the lens of my personal experience. But it is better for us to really back away and try to get the big picture. And that's while I acknowledge the pull and the tug, I also have a desire to back away and try to get a little bit more of the big picture. To that end, turn with me to Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16, I'd like to read verses 13 down to verse 20. And I would like to ask this question before we read and have you answer from the text in your mind these questions. Who is Christ? Who are we? And what are the implications? And so keep those three things in mind as we look at Matthew, and this is very briefly in an introductory sense, but Matthew 16, beginning at verse 13. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, "Some say thou art John the Baptist, some say Elias, and others Jeremias, or one of the prophets." He saith unto them, "But whom say ye that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock will I build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." Then charged he his disciples that they should tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ. Who is Christ? Well, we could spend the rest of the morning answering that question. We could probably spend a week answering that question, and we could probably spend longer than that. But very, very briefly, Christ is the supreme agent. He is God, but he is the initiator, he's the architect, he's the mediator, he is the one who says, "I will build. I will build my church." He is singular. He is unique. There is no other. There is no equal. There aren't various. Jesus Christ is. And who are we? Now, we're vital to his work and his building here because he's chosen to work through us. But our value and the value we bring to the equation of what God is doing here, what Christ is doing here, isn't because of us, but it's because of him. It's he that conveys value and on our cooperation. He has chosen to work through us. And we are